And I'll begin with the UK Prime Minister Theresa May having survived a confidence vote from her Conservative Party on leadership.
The result of the ballot held this evening is that the Parliamentary Party does have confidence.
Yeah! 200 Conservative Party lawmakers voted for May, while 117 MPs voted against her. Under the Constitution of the Conservative Party, no further confidence vote can take place for at least 12 months now. After surviving the no-confidence vote on her leadership, May called on politicians from all parties to come together to preserve Britain's national interests.
Following this ballot, we now need to get on with the job of delivering Brexit for the British people and building a better future for this country. A Brexit that delivers on the vote that people gave, that brings back control of our money, our borders and our laws, that protects jobs, security and the union, that brings the country back together rather than entrenching division.
Now, ahead of the confidence vote, May told lawmakers that she will step down as party leader before the next election in 2022, less than 4 months before Britain is due to leave the European Union late March of next year. Country's exit from the bloc is hanging in the balance. UK faces options ranging from potentially disorderly no-deal departure to another referendum that could reverse Brexit altogether.
Following this ballot, we now need to get on with the job.
Joining us out of London for more on the story is Mr. Tony Gosling, investigative journalist. Hello, Tony. It's a pleasure to have you back on the program. Tony, tell me, how does that read? 117 lawmakers within your own party trying to vote you out. How does that look? Tell us how, in the realm of, you know, the macro perspective of things, where do we stand? Or where does she stand?
Well, if she can stand up, she's really now a zombie prime minister, because that's a lot of MPs to say they've got no confidence in her. Let me just go through the figures. There are 317 Conservative MPs in the House. Out of those, many of them are paid posts, paid and the patronage of the Prime Minister, 140 of them. So that leaves 177 what we call backbench MPs who don't have that extra money every year from Theresa May. Now, if you look at the figures for the number of MPs that voted who aren't in her pay, on her payroll, it's actually two-thirds. So two-thirds of the MPs, and the normal backbench MPs, voted against her. The figures look fairly good. She's got 65% of all the MPs behind her. And that's not a fantastic majority. It certainly doesn't inspire confidence. But to have two-thirds of the backbenchers against her, this really looks bad for her. So she's putting a brave face on it, saying that she's going to see Brexit through. But with most of the House of Commons, of course, the Conservatives don't have a majority. And two-thirds of her backbenchers against her. It's going to be extremely difficult. It's going to be a painful process for her to even carry on over the next few months and to see through the 29th of March, which is when we're supposed to leave the European Union.
And, you know, the big question here you have to ask, I mean, lawmakers, I'm sure they're asking themselves, could someone in ambitious, I don't know, David Davis or Boris Johnson or that banker Javid or even opposition, you know, Labour Party leader or Jeremy Corbyn, could any of them do a better job of spearheading Brexit?
Well, most definitely. She's made a real hash of it. I would suggest, actually, that she's been working along the lines that Brussels have set. Now, there should have been very hard negotiations over the timing of these negotiations. She's basically just gone along with Brussels' plan. So who is she working for? Working for Brussels? Also, her husband, Philip, who works for Capital Group as a fund manager and a massive investment firm, has been making millions from the war in Yemen. So there are a lot of questions about whether she's been simply doing what her husband wants. Then there's also the globalists. I mean, is she working for them to sabotage Brexit? It does look as if she's made as bad a deal as possible to alienate so many people. And also in the background to all of this has been Mark Carney, the Bank of England governor. He's also a globalist, very much behind the European Union. And he's been making lots of scare stories in the press. He's from the Bank for International Settlements. the bank that the Bretton Woods Conference at the end of World War II wanted to close down because it had been funding Hitler. He's also one of the banksters from 2008. So there's been a lot of people circling around her, who've been steering her in the wrong direction. Also, of course, the clock has been ticking now for nearly 2 years, actually over 2 years if you take it back to the referendum date itself. So that's meant 2 years of mass media pro-Remain propaganda. I mean, the BBC, for example, has these panels on. Usually you'll find four pro-Remain people and only one person who's pro-Brexit, even though the country voted for Brexit. There's been all these scare stories about no food in Britain, no flights from Britain, which are all just nonsense. And there's been all propaganda we've had as well to have another vote. They called it the people's vote. Actually, it's the loser's vote. And if anyone decides that they want to overturn the referendum result, really they're pushing for a dictatorship. That's what they want. So I'd like to see a clean break, you know, back to the 1973 pre-EEC, pre-EU, when Britain was an independent country. The only danger there is that would upset the banksters so much that they may just crash the economy, crash the pound to punish us. But, you know, we might end up like Norway, which is where we have to obey the EU's rules, but we've got no say in writing them. And that would be the worst of all worlds. That seems to be now where we're heading if Theresa May is allowed to see this right through, which it now looks as if she will.
And that's the thing. Before we let you go, we're almost out of time. We actually are out of time, but I'm going to push it over because I want to get your, I'm really, you know, keen to get your take on this last question. She's postponed this vote. She's tabling it in Parliament. She's, you know, postponing the vote. Should Parliament, you know, shoot down her proposal, where will we stand?
Well, I don't think they necessarily will, because she has now the possibility to placate her coalition partners in Northern Ireland. One of the biggest problems with this deal that she's had is that basically it alienates the Northern Irish. It's a way of separating Northern Ireland from Great Britain and making it more part of Southern Ireland. This plays into the hands, which is something I support actually, of a united Ireland. But what it's done is it's totally alienated the DUP coalition partners. There's only a handful of them, but she relies on those for her majority. So she must make sure that there is some sort of border between Northern and Southern Ireland. Otherwise, it's going to look as if Northern Ireland is sailing off into the Atlantic Ocean. And that, of course, means that the DUP members of Parliament won't vote with her. So if she plays her cards right, she deals with the Irish problem that she started, by the way, which was what Brussels wanted, and she did it for Brussels, then she may just about get a deal through. She should do.
Always a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you for joining us and for your take. Tony Gosling, everyone, investigative journalist, joining us there out of London.